When Jesus of Nazareth hung dying on his cross, the Volcan passed within a year of his agony, headed outward. When the fire wars raged on Earth, the Volcan sailed near old Poseidon, where the seas were still unnamed and unfished. By the time the Star Drive had transformed the Federated Nations of Earth into the Federal Empire, the Volcan had moved into the fringes of Horangan space. The Horangans never knew it. Like us, they were children of the small, bright worlds that circled their scattered suns with little interest and less knowledge of the things that moved in the gulfs between. War flamed for 1,000 years, and the Volcan passed through it, unknowing and untouched, safe in a place where no fires could ever burn. Afterwards, the Federal Empire was shattered and gone, and the Horangans vanished in the dark of the collapse, but it was no darker for the Volcan. When Chlorodamus took his survey ship out from Avalon, the Volcan came within 10 light-years of him. Chlorodamus found many things, but he did not find the Volcan. Not then, and not on his return to Avalon a lifetime later. When I was a child of 3, Chlorodamus was dust, as distant and dead as Jesus of Nazareth, and the Volcan passed close to Duran. That season, all the Cray sensitives grew strange and sat staring at the stars with luminous, flickering eyes. When I was grown, the Volcan had sailed beyond Terra, past the range of even the Cray, still heading outward. And now I am old and growing older, and the Volcan will soon pierce the Tempter's veil, where it hangs like a black mist between the stars. And we follow. We follow. Through the dark gulfs where no one goes, through the emptiness, through the silence that goes on and on. My night flyer and I give chase. They made their way slowly down the length of the transparent tube that linked the orbital docks to the waiting starship ahead, pulling themselves hand over hand through weightlessness. Melantha Jurl, the only one among them who did not seem clumsy and ill at ease in freefall, paused briefly to look at the dappled globe of Avalon below, a stately vastness in jade and amber. She smiled and moved swiftly down the tube, passing her companions with an easy grace. They had boarded starships before, all of them, but never like this. Most ships docked flush against the station, but the craft that Caroli de Brannan had chartered for his mission was too large and too singular in design. It loomed ahead, 3 small eggs side by side, 2 larger spheres beneath, and at right angles, the cylinder of the drive room between, lengths of tube connecting it all. The ship was white and austere. Melantha Jurl was the first one through the airlock. The others straggled up one by one until they had all boarded. 5 women and 4 men, each an Academy scholar, their backgrounds as diverse as their fields of study. The frail young telepath, Tala Lassimer, was the last to enter. He glanced about nervously as the others chatted and waited for the entry procedure to be completed. "We're being watched," he said. The outer door was closed behind them. The tube had fallen away. Now the inner door slid open.
"Welcome to my night flyer," said a mellow voice from within.
But there was no one there. Melantha Jurl stepped into the corridor. "Hello," she said, looking about quizzically. Caroli de Brannan followed her.
"Hello,"
the mellow voice replied. It was coming from a communicator grill beneath a darkened viewscreen.
"This is Royd Eris, Master of the Night Flyer. I am pleased to see you again, Caroli, and pleased to welcome the rest of you."
"Where are you?"
someone demanded.
"In my quarters, which occupy half of this life support sphere,"
the voice of Royd Eris replied amiably.
The other half is comprised of a lounge library kitchen, 2 sanitary stations, 1 double cabin, and a rather small single. The rest of you will have to rig sleep webs in the cargo spheres, I'm afraid. The Nightflyer was designed as a trader, not a passenger vessel. However, I've opened all the appropriate passageways and locks, so the holds have air and heat and water. I thought you'd find it more comfortable that way. Your equipment and computer system have been stowed in the holds, but there's still plenty of space, I assure you. I suggest you settle in and then meet in the lounge for a meal.
Will you join us? Asked the Psi-Psych, a querulous, hatchet-faced woman named Agatha Marie Black.
In a fashion, Royd Eris said,